watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates. And today, we have kind of an interesting topic today, Katie. The two of us are going to do some fantasizing, I suppose, about our favorite cartoon worlds and which ones we'd most want to live in. Cartoons have brought us to places of incredible fantasy to just right next door. But the reason a lot of them are really memorable is because they've created these worlds that really make you want to jump inside your TV and go experience them. So basically we're just going to chat about which of these cartoon settings we'd most like to wake up in tomorrow. Katie, do you have a good one to start us off with?
When I first started thinking of this, the first one went, what are the cliches that I could say? And at one point, my brain did stumble across thinking about SpongeBob. And then going, why would I want to live there? And then I went, well, because I could be working a minimum wage job and afford a mortgage. And frankly, that's the dream we all aspire for, is to be able to afford a house in this economy.
In this economy? Yeah, okay. I love the world of SpongeBob for that reason. SpongeBob's world must have a universal basic income of some kind that is so high that everyone can afford a house, because even the permanently unemployed Patrick has his own house. Now, granted, sometimes it is just a rock that he just, like, is attached to the underside of, but sometimes, like, under there, there's, like, a whole, like, multi-room labyrinth. So, like, that's pretty cool, and he doesn't have any money.
Yeah. So that's really all I got for that one, was simply going, man, to live in that economy. The American dream is true in Bikini Bottom.
I will add to that, if living in Bikini Bottom is the only way I get my hands on a Krabby Patty, I'm okay with that.
That is the only recipe from Binging with Babish I've desperately been like, I could try to make that. I just need to know. I need to.
I'm with you. I want to know what a Krabby Patty's like. And like a real one, not one of those gummy ones that like in your head.
No, those are bad.
In your head, those are so good every time. They manage to trick me every time I see one of them. And then I remember, these taste awful.
Yeah. Normally we'd flip back and forth, but based on the fact that we just talked about the fact that this world solely to be able to eat a Krabby Patty partially. Also reminded me of the other one that I went with, which is a common theme, is Ed, and Eddie, just so I could have one of the jawbreakers. That's all I need.
I like the world of Ed, and Eddie, too. What, one, yes, the jawbreaker, but also, like, I kind of dig, like, the perpetual summer, no adults allowed kind of vibe. Like, wouldn't it be nice to, like, live in that world for a bit where, like, you're just a kid with your own little kingdom running around in this little cul-de-sac, and every house is kind of its own home base, but then you go out in the street and it's just like this little community forged of these children. Like, I don't know, it's like really comforting, I feel like, about the world of Ed, Edd n Eddy.
It does remind me in some ways of my childhood. I was gonna say less scheming, but I, you know, we schemed a little bit.
There was some scheming.
But yeah, just kind of being children and wandering off into the woods, going cricking, similar vibes.
Going cricking? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, going to the crick.
I love this for you. I love that going cricking is a word.
Yeah, we would bike around and we would go to the crick or the field.
I mean, that does sound pretty idyllic.
Can you tell I grew up in the South?
You grew up in the South. I was gonna say, I did not grow up in a cul-de-sac. I grew up in a horseshoe, but the vibes were pretty similar. Although it was basically just me and my next door neighbors who were children. Everyone else was teenagers or old people. But like me and my neighbors, we ran those streets. We would be like riding our bikes, like all like little circle of our little horseshoe, lemonade stands, like We digging big holes in the backyard and then having to begrudgingly fill them in when the parents realized we dug a really big hole. We almost hit China, though. We were so close to hitting China. They made us fill it in. That's so dumb. Anyway, I could get behind the world of Ed, Edd, and Eddy.
And I couldn't have a jawbreaker.
To keep us on a kind of similar theme, I think maybe we should not make these episodes when one or both of us is hungry. But I was thinking how much fun the world of Chowder would be to live in. Because, like,
At one point, I also had I had flapjack very briefly in my mind going, candy.
I wasn't really a flapjack person, but I really like the world building of Chowder. I feel like is really fun because like the idea is that like it's like a city that is like weirdly built on food. Like everything you do is like the people who are great chefs like rule this city, and all the food is like that weird Cartoon Network combination of like. This looks gross, but also really fun and interesting. So yeah, not much else to say about it, but like I just think the aesthetics of this world are so much fun.
You can tell we spent a lot of time planning this on our meal breaks. How many of these did you come up with at lunch?
All of them at
Yep.
lunch. Also, I will say, if I could wear the same outfit Chowder wears, he looks very cozy. If someone could knit me a hat that looks like Chowder's hat, I would love that. I would love
Honestly, now that you've put this into my mind, yeah, Chowder has your aesthetic.
I'm kind of a little Chowder. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're like the receptionist lady who is always yelling at people.
Oh, thank you.
I gotta watch more Chowder. I'm looking through some of these images now. Just it's a really
I mean,
visually.
Chowder had one absolutely incredible episode where they just fully broke the fourth wall, like into gravel.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Essentially, I think it's towards the end of the run when they were running, like the budget of Cartoon Network meant they weren't going to get an extension. And it goes from essentially they start to the animation can't be paid for it, so they are in live action suddenly, like holding a car wash, and it's the voice actors doing the voices.
Wait,
Very
I
funny.
do remember that. I do
Yeah.
remember the car wash. Wait,
So
that's so funny.
that's a
Yeah.
highlight of Chowder.
I remember Chowder was pretty meta at times. So that's pretty great. Good for them. Good for Chowder. So yeah, that was another one. And again, to sort of I guess once again piggyback off your ideas because that's what I'm doing this time. Sort of similar to Ed, Edd, n Eddy, I was also thinking how much I really love the world of Recess. Like as how much like specifically as like as a grown up, there's nothing I want less than to go back to elementary school because why I that no. But when I was a kid, I think that would have been my answer. Because Recess, I feel like. It was a world in which the most boring parts of your life, i.e. school, was reduced down into almost nothing, and the thing that stayed at the forefront was recess itself, which was like its own little civilization as portrayed in Recess. Like, I love how like the kindergartners are like full on like Lord of the Flies, feral children. They're their own like little tribe. And there's like that one kid who's like selling test answers like in like a really shady way. I don't know. I really love like the world that Recess is able to create out of like what would it be like if the act of going outside for recess was the most important thing in your life and in your day versus what, of course, it actually was for all of us. Which is like 20 minutes of running around outside before you get ushered back in and have to go back to the drudgery of school.
I don't know. I had some good recess time. We played a lot of kickball.
I was not coordinated, so
That's true. You'd probably get hit a number of times.
I would wait my turn for the swings and I would get like 6 seconds of swinging time in before I had to get off. And sometimes we played tag, and I would really hate when I was it because it would take me a really, really long time to get someone back. And then that was just embarrassing. So, yeah, the Recess the show was what I really hoped Recess the experience would be like.
I see we're dealing with some emotional trauma with this one.
It's only emotional trauma if I let it get to me, Katie, and it hasn't got to be. I'm fine. I'm okay. We have established on this show that I would read during recess, which led the teachers to put me in a book club so it wasn't sad. Like,
And it was
we already
still a
know.
little sad.
It was still extremely sad, but at least we were sad away from the other children, so we wouldn't make them sad for us by proxy. It was a quarantining kind of situation. They didn't want our sadness to spread to the other well-adjusted children.
And I played team sports and wasn't picked last.
Boy, what's that like?
I wasn't picked first, but I didn't, straight in the middle. About the best you could
Yeah.
ask for being a small girl in middle school and elementary school.
I think there was one time where I was picked second to last. That was pretty
Wow.
cool.
That's
I
pretty
know.
impressive for you.
I think the
Was
other kid had a
oh,
broken leg.
I was gonna say, if you're talking about college IMs, that doesn't count.
Oh, I was always picked last for college IMs, and you ran the IMs.
That's true. I think I
Yeah.
begged you to come only to make up numbers occasionally.
Oh no, I was definitely the bring her along when you need a warm body, and maybe not even that. I don't
The bribes.
know, did you actually even bribe me, or did you just drag me along? I don't know if
I
any.
probably just dragged you along.
I don't think a bribe exchanged hands. I think to call it bribing required that you had to give me something. I think there were more alluded threats
I
than.
gave you my loving friendship.
Well, that is something. So, you know. And for all that, how did we do in I Am Sports, Katie?
Hey, we got better sometimes.
I'm gonna be honest, Katie, I was genuinely asking, despite being there for a lot of games, I have no idea how often we won or lost.
Not great. Not bad.
To be fair, we have like three athletic friends and you're one of them. So anyway, we're
Yeah.
off track. Katie, do you have another world of a cartoon that you would like to live in?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. We've just gotten so distracted. I had something and I've briefly forgotten it.
Well, that's
Oh,
not
no.
good. Oh no. Well, I can go again if you'd like, although and if our audience would forgive me going three in a row.
What was it?
All right, well, while
Oh,
you're
I
thinking.
remember. I'm here
Okay.
now. Well, I had one and then I decided to switch it up to make sure I didn't steal one for you for the next round, possibly. This is more a childhood desire that I've just went, I remembered and went, no, that still would be fun. Though there are some qualms about the morals of the world. The world of Pokemon is just full of really cute wild animals that could either tear my face off or be my best friend. And I'm used to that. So that just feels perfect for me.
I like that a lot.
I could have so many tiny cute friends or very large cute friends. Snorlax.
I was just about to say, I would love to live in a world where I could have a big old Snorlax.
They're just all so cute.
I do love them very much. Have you,
Psyduck.
Katie, have you watched a Pokemon Concierge on
I
Netflix?
have not.
Oh my God. Talk about worlds I'd like to live in. I'm pretty sure the world that they invented, like, watch it. The whole conceit of the show is just for those of our listeners who might not know, is like it's a Pokemon like resort, and there are just humans there, like taking care of these Pokemon at this luxury resort. And oh my God, watching this made me be like, I genuinely want to be at this resort. Like, I want to be taken care of like these Pokemon are being taken care of, with like spa treatments and activities and like kind of therapy sessions that they're like throwing in for free. So
I they
like,
need them.
I mean, Psyduck especially. Like, it's a huge arc in that, that Psyduck is just all mess.
And for many fantasy worlds, not the most dangerous. If you dig a little too deep into certain Pokemon's backstories, maybe a little dangerous. But you'll probably live to adulthood.
Probably. That's
probably
good.
Just don't let a Drifloon get you.
A Drifloon?
A Drifloon. They're little balloon Pokemons that have, like, little, like, jellyfish tentacle hands. And sometimes they hold the hands of children to take them into the abyss to never be seen again.
I don't know if I like that.
Pokemon gets really dark sometimes if you read too deep.
I don't know. I hate that.
Pokemon is dark, cute, and horny sometimes, and unfortunately exist in too many varieties together.
Wow. You lost me at horny.
It's more the fans. I put that thought process into your head about what if you look up any Pokemon, how long it's gonna take you on the image search.
I mean, I saw enough of Team Rocket to know what the images are gonna be.
There you go.
That's an amazing bisexual roster. I could live in a Pokemon world. I mean, anything's better than like the real world where you just have people where we used to have people playing Pokemon Go like all the time and walking into traffic.
I want a Growlithe. Nope. Yes.
Is that the cat one?
I think it's the tiger one. I think I got that right. That and Houndour. Love him.
Houndour, I assume, is a dog.
Yeah. He's a dog with skulls. Turns into Houndoo.
Growlithe is like a little tiny tiger. Oh my god, I love her so much. Oh, amazing.
Zigzagoon. That's just a raccoon.
I like raccoons. Raccoons are good.
What's your next one?
The next world I wanted to talk about briefly. I really like the world of Gravity Falls. I
think that was a possibility for me.
I think it's unlike the world of Ed, Edd n Eddy, which I think kind of like is this sort of perpetual summer. I feel like it would be unfair to call Gravity Falls that sort of same vibe. However, great place to spend a summer. Yes, Katie?
This is a bad time to tell you. There are absolutely scenes at school in Ed, Edd n Eddy.
I feel like I sort of recall that, but it's definitely not most of them.
No, but they're definitely not always in summer.
That's probably true. I feel like I remember like fall and winter scenes, but I don't know. Something about my memory of Ed, Edd n Eddy just feels like a perpetual summer. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's just how
Gravity Falls is more just summer.
Gravity Falls, I feel like, has like a very defined beginning and end of summer. Like it doesn't have like a time. Like Ed, Edd n Eddy does not, because it's much less sequential. Like Gravity Falls isn't like serialized, but like there is a sense of the passing of time. Like these episodes are the beginning of summer. This is like the 4th of July. We're in the middle of summer now. Now summer is ending. School is starting. So like it's a little more of like feels a little more grounded in that sense. But what I really like about it is I like this. I feel like the atmosphere that Gravity Falls creates is just like really fun mystery the whole time. Like a little bit spooky. There's some like scary stuff happening, but like overall, there's like this sense that like there's a lot of cool unknown stuff to explore, and it's probably not going to kill you. Like I feel
you
like
you can just hunt for Bigfoot. Or yep. In my mind, that went, what are the two cartoons in which I could just hunt for Mothman? That'd be fun. And I went Gravity Falls and Over the Garden Wall. I could find Mothman in both of them.
I was thinking of Over the Garden Wall. I feel like Over the Garden Wall is just a little too creepy for me to genuinely want to live in. Like, don't get me wrong, love watching Over the Garden Wall. I would not want to be in Wirt or Greg's shoes. It's a little too spooky dangerous. Like, bad stuff can happen and they're in a dangerous place. Like, with Gravity Falls, like, you have this sense, like, you could be adventure hunting all day and make it home for dinner. And like, there's just magical stuff that just exists and you can sort of choose to pursue it or not. But like, you always know that you have that option to explore a mystery and be on the edge of what the real world and the fantasy world might be. But then you can be, you know, safely in your cozy cabin in the woods and have little kid adventures like going to the public pool. I don't know. I just find the world of Gravity Falls to be so appealing, and it's where I think as a child I would have wanted to spend my summer vacations.
You were obsessed with that show, so that checks out.
It fully does. It fully does. I think teenage me would have rather lived in Gravity Falls than basically anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, that do check out. No, that's a good one. That was on my list of possibilities.
Do you have one more for us?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time thinking of what fantasy worlds in which there are magic and swords that I wouldn't maybe immediately die in. Or maybe not magic and swords, but kind of the concept of a fantasy world that has fun powers that I wouldn't immediately die in. Key factor here. Because a lot of them, I don't think I'd live very long or have too many dangers. Like Legend of Vox Machina, too dangerous.
I think you'd be great.
Dragon Prince, a little too dangerous. And then I came upon the concept of Avatar and went, well, during the Hundred Year War, not great. The time of Korra, pretty good. Not a lot of dangers for everyone. And that's what I landed on.
Korra's a great choice.
I would like to control an element.
Okay, well, important question, Katie. Which element / which of the nations would you rather live in?
Very good question. Let's all admit, with my tenacity and personality, I probably seem most likely to be a firebender.
Oh, for sure. No, you're Fire Nation. I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. You're Fire Nation.
Can I at least have lightning?
Yeah.
Yes! All right, I'm happy now. Sure.
Now, granted, do you want to have lightning powers specifically in the Korra universe? Because it kind of seems like all the lightning benders basically just have to work in, like, a power plant and just shoot lightning.
That's true. That's less fun.
Which seems like a really terrible job. I can't believe they get that many people to actually do that work.
Capitalism.
Oh, capitalism. I mean, that kind of is the world of Korra, though, is what if Avatar but capitalism?
The beginning of industrialization and the beginning of capitalism. Oh, truly the worst.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But less dangerous than a Hundred Year War with a ton of genocide.
That's true. No, I think we'd all survive a lot more that way than we otherwise would have in the main Avatar universe. I feel like for me, I want to say I'm kind of water tribe-esque, but also I don't love the cold. So
I was about to be really mean.
What?
I was about to be mean.
And say I can't handle the cold.
No, and say that you'd probably be a non-bender. Because you're so boring. That might be the meanest thing I've ever said to you in some ways.
You know what, Katie? Genuinely, you would be a non-bender in the Avatar universe is the sickest burn I've ever heard, and I will be using that for someone. That you are 100% correct. That is the most insulting thing in the world.
I didn't say you were the cabbage guy, though, so you're welcome.
Hey, in the Korraverse, he becomes like a multi-billionaire. It was a cabbage corp. Do they actually sell cabbages or do they do something else? Are they technology?
I feel like I don't know. I was trying to think of what vegetable you would sell instead of cabbages, and I landed on radishes.
My radishes. they make cars. They make cars. I guess it makes sense because they had carts. He had a kid. Mm-hmm. The cabbage merchant had a cart. So that's cool.
Yeah. It was very hard to pick a fantasy world where I thought I wouldn't die immediately. It was truly the story of this.
I mean, recess wouldn't kill you immediately. See?
You knew what I meant.
I know what you mean. I was also sort of thinking of Dragon Prince, but I was also thinking, oh my god, I would be so dead in Any amount of
But
fun
there are so
would
many hot
have.
L.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, if I could, you know, be there just long enough to seduce and woo a hot elf, then yes, that's my choice. But I feel like before I manage to complete my seduction arc, there's gonna be a dragon who eats me, a dark sorcerer who like crushes me into a pulp, or just like a night
A
shadow elf
splinter.
assassin who just does, you know, slits my throat or something. Like, there's just so
Probably
many ways
went very different.
to kill me. You thought a splinter would kill me in this world?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a problem with a lot of these worlds, is that like they don't have proper sanitation or modern medicine. So like,
A
yeah, it.
splinter could take you out.
I mean, in those days, yeah, that is sort of how splinters would do it. So not that is what we're saying. For what it's worth, I feel like living in the Vox Machina verse would be pretty rad. Because it would basically just be like being sucked Jumanji style into a D&D game, and that means that we're always player characters, which means we have literal plot armor.
No, you know we'd be NPCs.
Am I an NPC in real life?
Don't think too hard on that.
I'm an NPC in everyone else's D&D game.
You're gonna make yourself fall asleep thinking about the concept of free will again.
Are we all real, or are we all just someone else's controlled character?
I think you should go look up the Bozeman brain before you go to bed.
Why do I feel like that's gonna keep me up all night, whatever that is? Oh no. Okay, we gotta end this episode before I do that.
Gotta give you a philosophical dilemma in your brain. And that's my goal. Did you have a final world?
No, that was it. That
Okay.
that's all I got.
Wow.
I think we have a good selection though. I think
I mean, we do.
we have a lot of wonderful worlds to choose from. From the Pokemon world to the world of Ed, Edd n Eddy to Gravity Falls, lots of different places that we could wish we would be. Shout out to my I did have an honorable mention because I was thinking how much fun I would have in the Bluey universe, except I was thinking about being a child in the Bluey verse versus being a grown up would mean that I'd have to be like one of the parents in the Bluey verse. And that seems like a really exhausting job to have. So I think Bluey only if I could be a kid. That's my caveat there.
That's fair. But even the parents have fun.
Yeah, but they're also like probably exhausted all the
Aren't
time.
we all?
Wow, that's two moments of existential dread you've given me in this moment, Katie.
Yeah, take us
Thank
out. I'm really tired and I'm starting to get weird.
you. All right, we're gonna take you out. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And I hope that this encourages you to think about what other worlds of fantasy and whimsy you might want to travel to.
What's your favorite form of escapism?
Yay! The world is terrible. We're gonna pop back into our cartoon time machine and go explore some of these places for ourselves. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and we will see you next time.
Where in the multiverse is the cartoon time machine?
Don't think about it too hard.